Welcome to Movements, a broadcast where we look at stories in the news and connect them to Canada's colonial history, its democracy serving a diverse population, and its foreign affairs with a global north and global south analysis. It's a broadcast that talks about power, biases, and how all of us in the Eastern Townships can care about what's going on near and far. I'm Gabrielle, and let's dive right into what's been happening. On Tuesday, November 29th, the Premier of Alberta, Danielle Smith, introduced a bill that has ruffled people's feathers across Canada. The bill is titled Alberta Sovereignty Within a United Canada Act, created to be a constitutional shield to protect Albertans from federal overreach. In its initial proposal, the act would allow cabinet ministers and the premier, without any court ruling, to declare federal laws and initiatives as unconstitutional or harmful to Albertans. The cabinet ministers could then introduce a motion in the legislature to give the cabinet powers to oppose the federal government. If there was a majority approval of this motion in the legislature, the cabinet ministers would then have the power to push back against Ottawa and direct the provincial sectors not to enforce federal policies. These sectors include the public health sector, school boards, municipalities, and the local police. After much criticism that the bill would give sweeping powers to the cabinet, with powers to amend laws without legislative approval, Smith has said that this was not the intention and that there will be amendments to the act. And despite its name, Alberta Sovereignty Within a United Canada Act, Smith has said that, quote, nothing in this bill involves separation, nor does it provide a means to accomplish such ends. Rather, it is a way for this great province to hold the federal government accountable to the constitutional principles that serve as the very foundation of our country's governance, end quote.
We are finally telling the federal government, no more. It's time to stand up for Alberta. Bill 1, the Alberta Sovereignty Within a United Canada Act, is a first step in standing up for Albertans and pushing Ottawa back into its own lane.
Smith has also clarified that the bill would not apply to court cases. The government would respect court, including Supreme Court decisions. The response to this news has been varied, with many political commentators or constitutional lawyers dissecting its constitutionality, analyzing how separatist the bill is, and drawing connections to how much it is trying to echo the position of Quebec. Parti Québécois MNA Pascal Bérubé has said that, quote, Alberta should inspire Quebec. Alberta has surpassed the Quebec government in its nationalism, end quote. The Parti Québécois leader, Paul St-Pierre Plamondon, has also said, quote, Alberta goes much further than the CAQ, and indicating that when a federal law encroaches on an Albertan power or creates a prejudice towards Alberta, there will be a way for Alberta to suspend the effect of that federal law. A Quebec Solidaire MNA has also agreed that Alberta is more demanding at the moment than Legault's CAQ. But he reminded that Quebec Solidaire is looking for total independence, as opposed to Smith's endorsement of more sovereignty within Canada. The Quebec Liberal interim leader, Marc Tanguay, did not see Alberta as an example to follow, arguing that negotiation is part of being in a federation. Danielle Smith, the Premier of Alberta, did write in an opinions piece in the National Post earlier this year in August that the Sovereignty Act, quote, would essentially give Alberta the same power within Confederation that Quebec has, end quote. She also wrote that Quebec has asserted it is a nation within a nation. Under my leadership, Alberta will too, end quote. Where Alberta's Sovereignty Act reads differently from the situation of Quebec, though, seems to lie within a belief that Ottawa has alienated certain provinces while done much to include others like Quebec. One opinions piece supporting the Sovereignty Act was published in the Calgary Herald, written by Ted Morton. He said that, quote, "We have a 19th century constitution that is totally out of sync with our 21st century economy." He sees the act as nowhere near separatist. That the Albertan government would use it to oppose, quote, "federal initiatives such as firearms confiscation, restrictions on farmers' use of fertilizers, and new caps on CO2 emissions. Opposition to these federal policies is neither new nor radical," end quote. Morton specifically criticizes the federal equalization program that has drawn hundreds of billions of dollars from Alberta, while hundreds of billions have been transferred to Quebec. In a commentary piece published on the Financial Post, Jack Mintz draws the connections to the recently introduced Saskatchewan First Act, which proposed that the province would have autonomy and jurisdiction over its natural resources. This would include the exploration, development, conservation, and management of non-renewable natural and forestry resources, as well as control over regulations on fertilizer use. The Saskatchewan First Act passed its second reading last Tuesday, November 29th. Mintz wrote that both the Albertan and Saskatchewan Acts, quote, "are a manifestation of growing Western resentment against unilateral federal decisions that hurt these two provinces' economies," end quote. He points to carbon emission targets and the carbon tax policies as examples. One constitutional law expert, Eric Adams, from the University of Alberta, pointed out that there has been times when provinces did ignore federal laws and redirected their resources towards other aims. He points to when Quebec stopped prosecuting the doctor Henry Morgenthaler for performing abortions, which were illegal at the time, or when the Vancouver police has said at times that it would stop charging for the possession of marijuana. But what's different about the Sovereignty Act, he says, is that now it would give provincial authorities the power to order its subsectors not to follow federal law. Earlier in October, an opinions piece published in the Montreal Gazette raised the flag looking at the re-election of Legault and the new election of Danielle Smith in Alberta. It said, quote, "We are increasingly seeing political actors across provinces like Quebec and Alberta indicating an interest and willingness to pursue their political goals outside the framework of existing norms regarding how federalism operates in this country." These are the words of Donal Gill. As for us in the townships, this is just one more layer to consider when making sense of the resilience of Canadian democracy, when judging the influence of Quebec in Canada on the formation of norms and values. Do you consider the Alberta Sovereignty Act to be a domino effect arisen from Quebec policies, or simply provinces defending their sources of economic wealth at a time when they feel increasingly threatened by global environmental movements? If you drive a car, car, tax the street. If you drive to sit, I'll tax your seat. If you get too cold, I'll tax the heat. If you take a walk, I'll tax your Two alumni from Bishop's University were named one of 15 most influential people of Quebec in 2022 by La Presse on November 27th. They are the sisters Florence Olivia and Marie-Emmanuelle Jeunesse, who have used their platform on social media to promote awareness of women's rights and gender-based violence. On the social media platform TikTok, they popularized a hand sign created by the Canadian Women's Foundation that signals distress. Holding up a hand with the palm facing outwards, folding the thumb into the palm, then closing the rest of the four fingers over the thumb to make a fist. In the following audio clip, which is taken from a video with over a million views on the Bishop's Alumni's TikTok account, you can understand that the hand signal is meant to give people an opportunity to signal for help when talking is not an option.
So what did you do today?
Well, nothing much. I just went for a walk.
Florence Olivia knew about the sign because during her master's studies, she specialized in domestic violence. In 2021, a 16-year-old girl in Kentucky who had been abducted in a car was saved after giving this signal to another driver who recognized the gesture. A police officer later confirmed that the girl had learned of the sign through TikTok. The Jeunesse Sisters' social media presence is named The Sis. TikTok, where they have their largest following, is a platform known for short-form videos on a variety of entertainment-related content, like dancing, pranks, and montages. There, the sisters have videos of them dancing, paired with feminist messages or statistics, as well as reactions to news articles. The idea was to democratize their research in very short videos to make what they learned in their studies more accessible to younger audiences. According to La Presse, they took advantage of the pandemic to produce their content from their family home in Magog. Outside of social media, they are doctorate candidates. Marie Emmanuelle pursues law and legal studies at Concordia University, while Florence Olivia is at the University of Durham, specializing in gender equality. The power of TikTok as an information platform is not to be underestimated. A study by Numerous found that for those between the age of 12 and 17, teens spend an average of 11.4 hours a week on TikTok, with those in Quebec spending 11.2 hours on the app. There are studies that show that TikTok is increasingly becoming one of young people's primary ways to get news. A study released this summer found that 51% of Canadian TikTok users reported using the app to follow the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the battlefront of ideas, and the base for support for public policy and social change, especially among young people, is happening on social media. So, in this regard, the Jeunesse Sisters' strategy to add value to TikTok and reach young audiences is not just genius, but proof that in this day and age, social media platforms are a digital activism space, from teaching life-saving hand signals to raising awareness about grocery prices and food insecurity in Nunavut, to fighting misinformation about autism, all through 10 to 15 second videos at a time. December 6th will mark the 33rd anniversary of the Polytechnique massacre. The Lenoxville and District's Women's Center will be hosting a candlelit vigil at 5:30 p.m. that day at Square Queen. Bishop's University's Sexual Violence Support Center also announced over the weekend that there will be a memorial for the victims of the Polytechnique massacre in St. Mark's Chapel from 12 noon to 1 p.m.
We argue in the kitchen about whether to have children, about the world ending in the scale of my ambition, and how much is art really worth. Everything you're best at is the thing that hurts the most.
You've been listening to Movements, a broadcast where we analyze stories in the news and connect them to topics such as colonialism, democracy, and foreign affairs. This week, we looked at how Alberta's Sovereignty Act and a pair of Bishops alumni who have been named one of 15 most influential Quebecers in 2022 demonstrate different patterns in our democracy. The music used in today's broadcast includes The Beatles' Taxman and Florence and the Machine's song King.